29, opening public hearing.
Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 2479 comes to you at the request of the House Interim Committee on Consumer Protection and Government Accountability for Government Efficiency Task Force removes from the Department of Corrections the responsibility for inspecting county correction facilities, requires the sheriff of the county to designate a staff person in the county correctional facility to inspect the facility, ensure compliance with the standards set forth in ORS 169076.
Okay, John Powell and Paul Snyder, please.
Co-chairs Barker and Krieger, members of the committee, my name is John C. Powell, representing the Oregon State Sheriff's Association, and here today to testify in support of House Bill 2479. This bill came out of the, I'm going to get the name wrong, but Joint Justice Commission Efficiency Task Force, and the sheriffs are in support of it for that very reason. They think that requiring DOC to inspect county jails is duplicative, and that it's already done by a group of sheriffs that are certified as jail inspectors that cannot inspect their own county facility, but go around in groups of, I believe, five or six from various counties and inspect different jails. And that's pretty much the extent of the sheriff's testimony.
Great, thank you. Mr. Snyder.
Co-Chair Barker, Co-Chair Krieger, members of the committee, I'm Paul Snyder, representing Association of Oregon Counties, and also appearing in support of House Bill 2479. We support the bill for the same reasons. Peer review by the sheriffs is the equivalent of DOC review for all intents and purposes, and it's a cost savings device and still results in the same valid inspection.
Okay, great, thank you. Any questions from the committee? Okay, thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Is Representative Juan's younger brother sitting in for him today?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Mark Cadott and Mike Wilkerson, please.
Co-Chair Barker, Co-Chair Krieger, members of the committee, my name is Mark Cadott. I'm the Community Corrections Chief for the Oregon Department of Corrections. And within the Community Corrections branch of DOC, one of our responsibilities is also to conduct the statutory jail inspections, or I should say correctional facility inspections statewide. So thus here, I'm here today in support of House Bill 2479. So the concept for this bill came from, and this is my information, the Government Efficiency Task Force that was created by the 2009 legislature and was chaired by Representative Nathanson. And that committee was charged with reviewing state and county shared services with the objective of considering opportunities to restructure government programs to be more effective and efficient. The Department of Corrections Deputy Director Mitch Morrow served as the task force criminal justice subcommittee chair. So pursuant to ORS 169, the Department of Corrections is currently responsible for the inspection of local correctional facilities, lockup facilities, temporary hold facilities, and juvenile detention facilities. Statewide, there are more than 150 of these types of facilities. Inspections ensure that these facilities all comply with the various standards defined by a statute. House Bill 2479 only addresses the inspection of county-operated correctional facilities and their compliance with the 14 standards defined in ORS 169.076. The Department of Corrections currently employs two part-time jail inspectors, one of which is seated here at my right, that each average about 20 to 30 hours per month. Should this bill pass, the department will still be responsible for the inspection of 124 facilities statewide, as well as plan reviews for new construction or major remodel projects on all correctional facilities. The department also assists the Commission of, on Children, or the Commission on children and families by inspecting temporary hold facilities to determine if they detain juvenile offenders. In 1999, the Oregon State Sheriff's Association, in collaboration with DOC, created a comprehensive list of several hundred jail standards. The OSSA currently uses these standards to conduct statewide inspections of county jails using their established peer review team process. I've asked one of our jail inspectors, Mike Wilkerson, to attend today's hearing in order to provide the committee with information as to how our inspections are conducted concurrently with OSSA. Although this bill does not represent a substantial cost savings to the department, if passed, the dual jail inspections would be eliminated, thus we believe making the inspection process more efficient. So I'd like to now turn over the testimony to Mr. Wilkerson, who can briefly describe our current process and answer any technical questions related to the inspection process.
Hey, please. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Co-Chair Barker, Co-Chair Krieger, and the members of the committee. Again, my name is Mike Wilkerson, and I've had the opportunity to do this job for a little over 2 years now. And about the past 18 months, we've been doing joint inspections with OSSA inspection team, OSSA, Oregon State Sheriff's Association. So, and the process, I think, has worked very great. And the process that we're currently using is OSSA puts together a two-year list of jails that are scheduled to be inspected. And they have a proposed month, a year, and a lead inspector that's assigned to kind of coordinate the team from OSSA to put together. And it's easier for the two part-time Department of Corrections inspectors to coordinate our schedule with theirs than their schedule with ours, because we're just single individuals and they have a team to coordinate. So that's the process right now. We just jointly schedule the same time frames, and both of us appear at the same facility at the same time frame to make it easier for the jail to prepare all the standards and the required information that we're asking for. It's working out very well, but when you, in retrospect, when you look at both of us appearing there and the standards that the OSSA has developed incorporate the statutory requirements under the ORS that Mr. Cadott had already explained in 169. So not only are we writing separate reports on behalf of the state, I do a report on behalf of OSSA, they do a report and submit those reports to the sheriff, but we're both there doing the same thing. So certainly understand the purpose of the proposal and the redundancy, because we are there's really very little purpose for both of us doing the same thing together. You know, there was a concern, and I'll just speak from personal experience for the 18 months. There was a concern that, well, using the old analogy, you know, the fox guarding the hen house, in a sense, doing your own inspections. The experience that I've observed over these past 18 months is they, meaning OSSA, are not a bit reluctant to hold their peers accountable. When they do their report in 200 plus standards, they are very candid about what you have done and what you haven't done. So it's much more detailed than the state report that I submit, basically, where it just checks off the 14 standards. Did you comply? Did you not comply? And then a time frame in which to rectify the violation. So with that, I'll certainly be glad to entertain any questions on behalf of the committee.
Okay, thank you. Representative Hicks.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. And either for the witnesses or perhaps counsel, it's I'm asking basically for the record so that we're clear, but grand juries actually also do inspections annually, and I just would like it, if it sounds like witnesses might be able to comment on this, that do you know whether this change would implicate that requirement?
Co-chairs, Representative Hicks, that question did come up in the process of preparing for this bill, and the feeling was that no, that wouldn't conflict at all with the grand jury inspections of the county jails.
Thank you. Any further questions, Representative Schaffler?
Thank you. I know you coordinate together with one another, but is the jail, you said they had to prepare, there are no random inspections, or are there random inspections? This is kind of outside of this bill. Random, unnotified, drop in, we're inspecting your facility. Inspection.
Co-chairs, Representative Schaffler, I can speak on behalf of the Department of Corrections in our inspection process, and no, there are no drop-in inspections. Whether OSSA or any other organization does, I'm not aware of.
Thank you.
Sir?
I'm sorry.
Thank you. So you inspect 150, currently inspect 150 facilities a year, is that correct? It doesn't say that, but...
Co-chairs, Representative Tomei, the actual number, I believe, is 154 exactly. And that includes... No, they're on a different schedule. Some are inspected twice a year, not twice a year, every other year, some annually, and some every 3 years, depending upon the type of the facility.
Hold on, please.
So there would be a savings then, because that would not require staff to do that in the future, correct? So there would be a savings to the Department of Corrections?
Co-chairs, Representative Tomei, yes, there would be. Not substantial, but there would be a savings.
Follow up. It seems like that would be pretty substantial.
Co-chairs, Representative Tomei, what we're talking about here, again, is only the county local correctional facilities. So there are 30 of those facilities statewide. They're inspected on a two-year cycle. So in essence, we're doing half of those every year.
Okay.
So it would be staff time and per diem to conduct approximately 15 to 17 inspections annually.
I was thinking it was 150. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And we don't have a fiscal, so we can't move this today. And also, the ACLU called and expressed some concerns, and so we'll be able to hear those before we move it. Close the public hearing on House Bill 2479. Open a public hearing on House Bill 2482.
The Chairman of the Committee, House Bill 2482, which has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means Committee, comes at the request of the House Interim Committee on Consumer Protection and Government Accountability for the Task Force and Effective Cost Efficiency, creates a task force on shared housing of special populations in county jails consisting of 11 members. Directs the task force to explore the feasibility of dedicating certain parts of a local community correctional facility to special categories of inmates.
Mr. Snyder, come on down.
Co-Chair Barker, Co-Chair Krieger, members of the committee, I'm Paul Snyder, representing Association of Oregon Counties, and I'm appearing this afternoon in support of House Bill 2482. 2482 has some similarities to the bill you've just heard. First of all, it came out of the same place, the Government Efficiency Task Force, and the same subcommittee, and that's the one that was chaired by Mitch Morrow of the Department of Corrections. What this bill is intended to do is to create a process to take a look at county correctional facilities that are primarily in close proximity to one another to see if there are efficiencies that can be obtained by working collaboratively on special populations. Let me explain what I mean by special populations. There are people who have communicable diseases. There are those who have mental illness. There are women. There are men. Every time a correctional facility, especially a small one, gets a population of people who, for whatever reason, need to be segregated from the general population, basically you lose capacity. Because in the process of segregating those prisoners from the other prisoners, you wind up with empty space that you can't fill because of the fact that they're segregated from others. And so that doesn't diminish the operating costs of the facility, but it does diminish the operating capacity of the facility. So the purpose of this bill is simply to take a look at those dynamics to see if through collaboration, and as I mentioned, it's primarily in metropolitan areas where there are several facilities in close proximity to one another, to see if they might designate a pod for communicable diseases that would be available to the sheriffs and the other law enforcement agencies within the geographical area, or to do the same thing for people with communicable diseases or for mental illness and that sort of thing. The idea simply is that by a high level of collaboration you can increase the capacity of the facility without increasing the operating costs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm not talking about the task force. I'm talking about any results of the task force. Are the counties going to absorb whatever cost this is without coming to the state and asking for more money?
Co-Chair Barker, Co-Chair Krieger, Representative Schaffler, you know, with the Government Efficiency Task Force, we pretty much did staff the whole thing. And it would be in our interests for this process to move forward and result in some cost savings to the jails. I can't commit AOC in advance to say we'll do it, but I think there's a good likelihood that we'd offer whatever staff support were necessary.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm not talking about this task force. I'm talking about results, and we got no money. And I whatever you come up with, I hope you can fund it.
This has a subsequent referral.
I understand. I'm not talking about the task force, Mr. Chair. I'm talking about 2 years from now, people come in here going, oh, this is a great idea. We need a whole bunch of money. And even when we do have money, Mr. Chair, we got to quit saying we're going to do a bunch of new stuff. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, yeah, thanks. Paul, I guess I didn't hear it, and I'm not reading it in here or anything. Where's the Sheriff's Association on this?
Co-Chair Barker, Co-Chair Krieger, Representative Olson. Is John Powell still here?
Oh, yes. They're gone.
He'd be in the best position to answer that. My understanding is that they've got some concerns with it, and they may be in opposition to it. But the opposition, well, that's as much as I know.
He'd be here if he had an opposition. Okay, Mr. Taylor.
Members of the committee. Mr. Snyder, you mentioned that the Association of Oregon Counties staff the task force on effective cost-efficient service provisions. This calls for the Department of Corrections to staff it, if I'm correct, and I believe, does it?
And I know they have a member of it.
Right. So, Department of Corrections shall provide staff support for the task force.
I
that's
see.
On page 2, line 2. Mm-hmm. And my assumption is that's probably what's resulting in the fiscal. Question I have for you, could the counties staff it? As you did the other task force?
Co-chairs, council, you know, we the problem is in terms of what the capacity is of our staff, but this is would be a pretty high priority for us to help in any way that we could. I can't commit in advance based on we don't know how many of these things are going to make it all the way through the process, but I could just simply say that we offered a very high level of staff support for the Government Efficiency Task Force, and it didn't break the bank, not ours.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Bill has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Do you have a motion on the bill? I'm sorry, work session. Close the public hearing for work session.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move House Bill 2482 to Ways and Means.
Representative Hicks moves House Bill 2482 to Ways and Means. Discussion? Call the roll.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Olson? I'm
going to be a no.
Representative
Shoplin?
No.
Representative
Wong? No. Representative Wisman?
Excuse.
Vice
Chair Hicks?
Aye.
Vice Chair Garrett?
Excuse.
Co-Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker?
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, open a public hearing on House Bill 3525.
Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3525 comes to you from the Committee on Judiciary and provides that 10% of the amount awarded as a punitive damage under the verdict in civil action is payable to the Attorney General for deposit in the Courthouse Capital Improvement Trust Fund. Mr. Chair, members of the committee. You may remember that the Chief Justice has asked that we have a work session or hearing on this bill on a later date, too, but we got that notice just before the hearing. So.
Okay. Mr. Snyder again, please.
Thank you.
Co-Chair Barker, Co-Chair Krieger, members of the committee, I'm Paul Snyder, representing Association of Oregon Counties. 2 years ago, a task force was put together to make a study of the court facilities in Oregon. It was an interim committee, I believe it was co-chaired by Senator Walker and Representative Nathanson, and the study was done by an outside source. The result of the study is what's in this notebook, and basically the folks who did the review found problems in virtually every county courthouse in the state, including the one newest one. That one had fewer problems. But the gist of it was that there were several areas in every county courthouse that the study determined needed to be or could be improved in order to provide better services through the courts. The net total amount of capital costs that they estimated, and in fairness, we disputed some of those numbers at the time because we thought they were rather extraordinary, but nonetheless, the numbers that they came up with were $733 million statewide. And counties have the responsibility to provide suitable and sufficient court facilities in the state. The judicial department has the responsibility to operate the courts. And counties, for the most part, have, in many cases, been unable to keep up with the needs of the courts and the needs of the facilities. And so we started asking for help. And that was one of the reasons for the study that resulted here. We appreciate any help the state can give. And we've had conversations with several legislators this legislative session. I know that the situation is rather dire, very dire, in terms of finances. But such is also the case with respect to the counties, and in some counties in particular, well, you've already heard legislation that would basically provide a stopgap in the event that counties just totally ran out of money, period. And so the purpose of this legislation, as I read it, is to take a look at situations involving punitive damages awards. And punitive damages, of course, are damages that are granted in excess of actual damages. They're usually granted in order to respond to particularly egregious conduct on the part of the party against whom the damages are awarded. And I believe it's primarily to say, don't you ever do this again, and secondly, to say to people outside of the circle, you better not ever do it either. So the punitive damages are not a matter of what the actual damages are. And what this bill would do, as I read it, is to say that, well, first of all, the way it works now, right now, is that I believe 60% of punitive damages awards are payable to the criminal injuries compensation account at the Department of Justice. That wouldn't change. What this bill would do is to say that the 40% that would otherwise be payable to the prevailing party would be reduced, and that 10% would go to a court facilities account that the Chief Justice would administer to determine locations in the state where the greatest needs exist to provide for the court facilities. That would allow the other 30% to continue to be paid to the prevailing plaintiff. We have not formally taken a position on this bill, but I am really confident that on Monday when our folks gather, we will.
Mr. Snyder, do you know how much, what kind of an estimate, is there an estimate on how much money that might raise?
Mr. Chair, I don't know.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Schaffer.
Thank you. I'm for a fund helping counties build a new courthouse. There are a lot of counties out there that need help. My county had built a new courthouse, and it costs a lot of money, but I still understand the need to help counties build new courthouses. But I got to tell you, I don't see why the Attorney General, I want someone to explain to me why the Attorney General needs to be in control of this money. The way I read this, Mr. Snyder, is currently this criminal injuries compensation account Okay, that's already in the... I have a real problem with that. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in creating a fund to help courthouses get built, but not pouring more money into the general, the Department of Justice budget. That's my hang-up. If you can find a way to do it differently than that, and maybe that's the only way it can be done, that's fine, but I have a real problem with that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Schaffer, I don't think this bill changes the flow of those funds except to change the title of the... I think my reading of it, it's not our bill, is that this is a form and style change that Legislative Council did on that particular issue. I think the same amount goes to the criminal compensation account as goes there now.
And Mr. Chair, maybe I... Just so I can clarify. So this money is collected and it goes straight to one place and it's used specifically without any discretion at all about designated purposes now. And it would be the same thing for courthouses. Is that right?
Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Schaffer, I think the issue for the courthouses is more up to the Chief Justice in terms of how the Chief Justice would implement
okay.
Section 2.
Okay, that makes me feel much more comfortable. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Wong, Representative Wong.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Concern I want to express about this bill is that it reduces the amount that goes payable to the prevailing party by 10 points and sends it to the capital construction account, which I agree with Representative Schaffler is very important, but I'd want to have a little more input from some of the affected persons in a situation like this. I'm very lukewarm on it.
We will have testimony. We're not going to move this day. We're going to wait and have testimony from Chief Justice Dominguez.
Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I agree with what Representative Schaffler is saying. I mean, Section 2, though, pretty much clarifies some of his concern with that for the Chief Justice's involved with that, for the plans. But initially, it would be nice to have the additional input.
Okay.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Yes.
Just to make sure everyone is paying attention to this, Representative Wand raised a legitimate issue about payments to prevailing parties. My reading of the bill is that this does nothing to any compensation, damages suffered, including double and treble damages. The piece that is attached to this bill is for punitive damages only, which you can lecture me about. The purpose for punitive damages is to deter the behavior in the future and protect the public as a whole. And that's the thinking that got me to the point of understanding why that particular source, rather than trying to raise new money from some other source and certainly not taking anything in compensatory damages.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This is potentially beyond our witness's scope. Maybe counsel. Does the tobacco settlement fund get implicated here? Is any portion of that punitive? And if so, that's a lot of money. And so there is the connection there with the Attorney General's office, as we've learned through the budget process.
We may have found a whole bunch of
members of the committee.
So I'm
Page 2, lines 27 to 28. The amendments to RS 31735 by Section 1 of this 2011 Act apply only to verdicts entered on or after the effective date of this 2011 Act. It has an emergency clause, so it takes effective upon passage if it were to be enacted, say, by the end of June, and signed by the governor by August 1, that it would apply to verdicts after that date. And I think the tobacco settlements are before that. So.
Could I follow up?
Yes, sir.
My impression is, this is a little technical, but my impression is that that case is on appeal. And so would the verdict then be entered after the end of the at the end of the appeal? Because this is a lot of money we're talking about, potentially.
I don't know.
Okay. So it would be great if it built the courthouses.
Maybe
One more.
Yeah,
so perhaps we can get another lineup. There's a lot more to this that I think we could delve into. That'd be a nice question to try and address in the next time it comes, if it does come up before. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Snyder.
Thank you.
Close the public hearing on House Bill 3525. I'm going to reopen the work session. House Bill 2482 for a change of vote. Representative Wong, how do you vote?
Aye.
Representative Wan changed his vote from nay to aye. It does change the outcome, and the bill moves to Ways and Means. Close the work session on House Bill 2482. Open a House work session on House Bill 2667. Mr. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is 2667, you said?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is a work session that we have. You may remember at the last time this bill was up a week ago, we adopted 2, 3, and 4, amendments 2, 3, and 4. Representative Wan had an amendment that would be the dash 5, which is in front of you, but he does, what he tells me, he did.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Coacher. Turns out, during the applicable time frame, there were no cases involved in my concept. So I appreciate the deference of the committee and their patience. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for the extra work you did to discover that. Appreciate that. Is there any further discussion on House Bill 2667?
Chairman of the committee, the amendments, the impacts are the minimal, no, or minimal.
Okay.
So we're fine.
All the amendments are in?
Yes. All the amendments have been done.
Is there a roll call? Question? You have a question? Okay. No problem. Need a motion?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I move that we move House Bill 2667A to the due pass.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 2667 as amended to the floor with the due pass. Is there any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative
Bolson. Aye. Representative Shockley.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Representative Wan.
Aye.
Representative Wisnik.
Excused.
Co-Vice Chair
Hicks.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair
Garrett. Excused.
Co-Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker.
Aye.
Motion carries. Representative Wan, would you carry that for us on the floor?
Sure.
Thank you. Okay. Is there any further business to come before the committee? Seeing none, adjourned.